In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The choices we make influence the stories that we will tell. Yesterday, I was sent an extraordinary copy of a letter from a parishioner. Well, the letter wasn't from a parishioner, but the copy was, typed on an old typewriter from the 1970s. You know, the ones that used to have to bash really hard? It was a letter that was sent originally from one of the most important world leaders at the time. But it was written to someone whom he had not yet met, and whom he knew he might never meet, and who, anyway, might not be able to read the letter. The original of this letter is not even on the planet anymore, because it was sent into space on the twin Voyager 1 and Voyager 2 spacecraft, attached to a golden-plated disc containing a recording of sounds of the Earth, greetings in 55 languages, examples of music and math and science, launched in 1977, when I was a teenager and the first Star Trek movie was issued. Yes, some of you know exactly. Voyager 1 and Voyager 2 have now passed out of our memory, but they've also passed out of our solar system. They are the first spacecraft to enter deep into space. You can still look up their progress on the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory website, and it says this: the historic entry into interstellar space, the region between the stars, filled with material ejected by the death of nearby stars millions of years ago. Quite something, isn't it? Material ejected by the death of stars. A few days ago, we celebrated Ash Wednesday. And as I said in my homily at 12 o'clock, Christians often focus on the dirt aspect of ash, of dust, and how it's so often seen as a sign of sin and guilt, unworthiness and failure, when in actual fact it could be seen as a sign of our creation, our connectivity with all that is created, because in the end it's carbon, the same material ejected into space by stars, same stuff that we have in our bones. As we begin our Lenten journey, we will hear again the stories of our ancestors in the faith, and we'll think about our own stories and how they relate to them. We will think about the choices that they and we have made, and the way those choices have influenced those particular stories. In our first reading today from Genesis, we heard the story of the fall from grace, the result of the choices that were made by Adam and Eve, which resulted in God reminding Adam that he was indeed from the earth and would return to it. Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. The story of the fall is a story of giving in to temptation and its consequences. But if you look at the story from God's point of view, it's also a reminder that this is not the way that things are meant to be. The fall from grace was exactly that, a fall from grace caused by humankind's willingness to reject the love of God, the Creator, and to abuse the stewardship entrusted by God the Father. Grace is a gift from God, but it is something that we can refuse or deny. And the fall did not destroy the presence of grace in our world, far from it. As we read in the Hebrew scriptures, God continued to flood the world with his presence and with his grace. But time and time again, God's people rejected his presence and that grace. Then, as St. Paul says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. I love that phrase, don't you? When the fullness of time had come. But again, what is time for God? Ironically, for Christians, when we hear the phrase, when the fullness of time had come, it actually takes us back to the beginning. To the beginning of creation and how things are meant to be. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. So when we read the story of the fall, we read it through the lens of the incarnation. When all seemed lost, my friends, God flooded the world with his grace and presence. Adam and Eve ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but the knowledge they gained was for their own ends, inherently selfish motive. And instead of making them like gods, as the serpent promised, it simply destroyed the beautiful relationship that they had with God, their loving creator, and the world that he had given them to steward. Banished from the garden so that they could no longer have access to the tree of life. It was Jesus, the second Adam, the perfect image of the Father's glory, who turned the cross of shame into the tree of life and restored the balance to creation, offering grace freely bestowed on all the beloved, on all humankind, on you and me. And what is grace? The grace that Adam and Eve so recklessly abandoned, and yet Mary of Nazareth embraced. Remember, some of you, dear parishioner Libby Clark, she used to come out of the altar sacristy and say with a beaming smile, "Father, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense." What a wonderful mnemonic. Oh, I can't say it. Mnemonic, whatever it is. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. In our epistle, St. Paul says, if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. Many died because of one man's trespass. Many abound in the free gift of grace through Jesus Christ. A reversal from the fall of grace is what we celebrate on this first Sunday of Lent. So much so that at the end of our Lenten journey, in the Easter proclamation, or the Exultet, we can actually sing about the fall in the most extraordinary of ways. Have you ever thought about these words that the deacon sings before the paschal candle? Oh, happy fault! Oh, necessary sin of Adam! which gained for us so great a Redeemer, most blessed of all nights, chosen by God to see Christ rising from the dead. Of this night, Scripture says, the night will be as clear as the day. It will become my light, my joy. From death to life. From condemnation to redemption. From sorrow to joy. The choices that we make influence the stories that we will tell. My friends, this is what Lent is all about. Jesus has walked the way that we will walk. He was tempted in every way that we are, but did not sin. That is why this Lenten season is a joyful season, for it affords us the opportunity to restore that which was broken, to heal that which was wounded, to look forward to the glory that will be ours. Somewhere, millions of miles away, a small spacecraft is hurtling through the cold of space, past the debris of dead stars into the darkness. It carries a letter typed on an old typewriter, which is both ridiculous and I think at the same time amazing. As we reflect on the choices that have been made all over the world since that spacecraft was launched, we might easily think that the contents of that letter, like the spacecraft that carries it, is nothing more than science fiction. And yet, the letter is a message of hope. And I find it remarkable that in spite of the levels of mistrust, violence and inequality in our world today, this fragment of hopefulness is out there, somewhere. And it kind of resonates with me today as I think of our Lenten journey and our gospel reading. Now, I know some of you want to know what the message says, so I'm going to put you out of your misery. There's a lovely couple of paragraphs that explain all about the spacecraft and about how the world is. And there's a wonderful throwaway line about in the 1970s we are moving towards ending all our divisions and we're going to be one global civilization. Huh. But this is the message. It actually says, here is our message to whoever can read it. And it's attached to this golden disc. This is a present from a small, distant world, a token of our sounds, our science, our images, our music, our thoughts, and our feelings. We are attempting to survive our time so we may live into yours. We hope someday, having solved the problems we face, to join a community of galactic civilizations. This record represents our hope and our determination and our goodwill in a vast and awesome universe. Signed, Jimmy Carter, President of the United States of America, the White House, June 16, 1977. The choices we make influence the stories that we will tell. From our epistle today, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.